and we now move into our fisheries agenda for the day, and I believe that we are going to be discussing oysters.
3 o'clock to start fisheries.
We didn't start fisheries last month until 4 o'clock.
Oh, so we're early.
So we're an hour ahead of time.
Okay.
Wow. Mr. Button. Mr. Button, what do you have us for us today here with your first management plan?
This is the public hearing to establish the 2016-2017 public oyster season. Or excuse me, 17-18.
Let's start with getting the year right.
So this is to make amendments to VAC 2720-10, which is pertaining to the restrictions on the public oyster harvest season. This is a public hearing for that. I guess we could start with a little bit of bad news. It's not terrible news. Sort of the preliminary reported harvest off public ground over the 16-17 season took a little bit of a dip. It looks like about 5 to 10%. The harvest off private ground, those numbers aren't completely up to date yet. There's usually a little bit of a lag, and the season runs from July through June of the following year, so those numbers aren't in completely yet. Looks like there might have been a similar sort of 5 to 10% reduction in those numbers. This was sort of predicted based on our stock assessments that we did in the previous years that the harvest would be down slightly due to the sort of lower recruitment in the 13-14 season. The good news is that in 2015 we saw an increase in recruitment throughout most of the portions of Chesapeake Bay, which should be reflected in potential an uptick in the harvest season this year. This is sort of really just sort of plateauing. I wouldn't really consider it a drop there. We sort of came down a little bit last year and it sort of was leveling off and might come back up there. So it's nothing dramatic on that end. What we do in the replenishment department and how we manage the fishery is relatively simple task that's sort of complicated by sort of managing the fishery itself. But what we actually do is pretty straightforward, and that's basically maintain a certain level of living oysters and shell volume on the public oyster beds. And this graph is an interesting example of just what you get when you get it right. This is actually the all rivers. This is all areas in the entire bay combined. And what you have plotted here is the spat set on one axis here and the volume of oysters per cubic meter, oyster shells, and the living oysters here. And if you see here, as this line goes up, basically if we keep it in this 5 to 10 range, you have a high probability of getting a spat set, and the future of the oyster industry is sort of dependent on that. And really, the whole management goal is to keep the number of living oysters and the substrate on the bottom, ideally over 10%, because you have a much higher probability of getting more recruitment, and ideally no lower than five cubic liters per square meter on the bottom there. And that's really how we manage the fishery, is sort of working within this goal, and that's sort of the whole purpose of our Pat and Tong survey, and the whole purpose of this season that we're establishing is to sort of do the least impact to the resource while sort of maintaining a stable oyster harvest throughout the traditional time that oysters are available from October through really the end of February, with the few Pantong areas still being open in the spring. As you can see, not all areas does this necessarily correlate. If oyster populations do get low enough, such as happened in parts of the Tangier and Pocomoke Sound, you can see that regardless of how much shell is on the bottom, if there's no living oysters there, you don't necessarily see good recruitment, and that's how you see that line sort of flatten out there compared to the rest of the system. That being said, this is after the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee met to discuss sort of the measures, and basically establish the season within a certain parameters. I mean, really, the goal was to work with the framework that we normally have of the rotation areas. We're not doing anything in terms of actual individual harvesters, effort control that way. It's basically to manage the fishery that we have currently on the oyster grounds that we're currently harvesting on and doing replenishment activity on. And there had been some concern, mainly about the month of October, from industry and from harvesters and within members of the commission and VMRC, that there was potentially some overcrowding happening in October. And this has been addressed by the commission in previous years by opening up many areas simultaneously. This was sort of the way that the fishery was traditionally managed when it was primarily a hand and pat and tong fishery, and the hand scrape wasn't as popular gear type. As you can see, sort of back in the 80s here, the dominant gears were pat and tongs and hand tongs. And as you progress into sort of the modern fishery here, the gear type has shifted over to the hand scrape and the dredge primarily. And many of the areas that would be scheduled to open on the opening day of oyster season, the oyster densities are low enough there that it wouldn't be practical to use another type of gear type, and that's why we've allowed the hand scrape to be used there. And the careful sort of staggered opening in the rotation system allows us to maintain productivity there and sort of keep those areas consistently producing at lower levels than would have traditionally been, you know, productive or economically feasible to fish using other gear types. So as Max sort of discussed these concerns, the overcrowding, the changes in gear types, we had a pretty good unanimous decision after two meetings on establishing this season here. They were presented with, this is the season would look like if we just sort of stuck as it was. This would be the status quo season. And this sort of gives you a good outline of what we'd be working with in terms of areas being open for 3 months to hand scrape in the James. You sort of go through it, and you can sort of get an idea of what, if we didn't make any changes, this is what the season would look like based on our rotation system that we've had in place. These would be the areas that would be open up for the amount of time that they'd be open. This was an option that they were presented with, where there wouldn't be a hand scrape fishery in October at all. There was a substantial amount of pushback on this option, mainly because a lot of people are anxiously awaiting October. The price of crabs hasn't necessarily been great. The croaker have been small, I've heard, and people are waiting for October to get here. And in particular, not having a hand scrape area open in October was felt to be an undue sort of economic burden on the fishery as a whole. And, you know, potentially this would provide enough oysters in October, but there was some concern, particularly from folks on the Eastern Shore, that only having a patent tong open would sort of be unfair, so to speak, to boats that only have a dredge rig. It's called a stump rig. They don't actually have the boom. They're not able to operate the patent tong gear that's sort of traditionally used in the lower Rappahannock there. So it sort of felt to be a more of a push towards one side of the bay than the other there on that. This was the this is the seasons that got unanimous support from SMAC to establish this. And it really addresses the overcrowding that was a concern, having just one area open in October. It allows the James River area, which has traditionally been all open, the whole river, to hand scrape below the hand tong line for 3 months from November through January. And it splits it into two areas this year and staggers are opening to allow for concurrent openings with Area 1 in the Rappahannock and an area in the lower James River. I have maps that I'll show you later, to allow for, in theory, people could stay in the James River and work that area, and people could stay in the Rappahannock River and work that area, and there wouldn't be some of the overcrowding issues. And potentially the impact to the actual oyster resource by not having that number of boats concentrated in that area might be less. And then furthermore, sort of throughout the season, we have all the hand scrape areas staggered in such a manner that at no time is there just one area open, which has periodically been a concern that if there's only one area open, the whole fleet goes there and fishes that one area. So this season was sort of carefully balanced, if you will, to allow for multiple hand scrape areas to be open throughout the scrape and dredge season, In addition, it does a couple of other things, all of which got unanimous support by the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee. It splits the Great Wicomico area into a full two-year rotation for the first time. This area had been open traditionally every single year, and our stock assessment has started to show that this area is gradually becoming depleted, and having it broken into a rotation system similar to that which is in the Pocomoke, a two-year rotation, and the Rappahannock, which is a three-year rotation, would allow more replenishment activity to be in that area, in terms of you can put more shell down because you're not necessarily worried about that area immediately being harvested the following season. And it allows, if you do get an increased spat set in that area, a chance for those oysters to recover. And I think that received unanimous support because it's sort of obvious that these areas are getting down to just that sort of oyster hash, that substrate that's not really conducive to continuing spat sets. The other sort of major change, if you will, would be it got unanimous support again from SMAC of dropping the vessel limit in all areas that currently have a vessel limit, which was 24 in the previous seasons, to 16 bushels per boat from 24. This wouldn't be any individual limits, would stay the same, but that vessel limit in areas, which are the hand scrape areas and the patentong areas, where there was a 24, in the dredge areas, where there was a 24 bushel vessel limit, this season would now be at a 16 per boat, which generally means that only two people would be working, as opposed to three, because it's still the 8 bushel per person limit. And this got support for, I think, a number of reasons. The main reason being that in many cases there was a tendency for that third person to be dropped later in the season. As that oyster ground became gradually depleted, that third person would end up being dropped anyway when it was harder and harder to catch a limit. And the other reason is in certain cases, some boats may have kept that person on longer than they should, and it sort of encouraged a tendency to potentially that last two or three bushels might have not been the most quality of bushels coming in, more shell, potentially smaller oysters. And sort of dropping the vessel limit down to 16 addresses both of those concerns and ensures that 16 good bushels are coming off the boat. You have the season sort of naturally extended slightly by not having those folks, I guess you might remember them called the people who were in for the gravy in the beginning of the season back when we were going over effort reduction, is potentially that gravy, if you will, is spread out throughout the entire oyster season for those folks who will be fishing throughout by dropping that vessel limit down to 16. And that also got unanimous support from SMAC. That's the basic gist of it there. More good news in terms of our overall stock assessment. Dr. Weston there sort of alluded to it briefly there, that throughout almost all the harvest areas, we're seeing higher numbers of small oysters, higher numbers of market oysters. There are a few exceptions, but all the areas that are scheduled to open this year are going to have more oysters on them than they did the last time they were opened. The closest season to what this season will be was the 2014-2015 season, and I believe the public harvest was similar to what it was this last year, but since there's more oysters on these areas, it should be increased this year based on sort of, it's not a perfect comparison because there are some areas that are in different rotation, but that'll be the closest in terms of Area 1 of the Rappahannock being opened up. So all the stock assessments, if there's any particular questions on that, they all look pretty good there. And there are a couple other changes in the regulation that were brought up at SMAC. One of them was, I'll get into that in a minute there. There are, I guess, potentially having the James River open for that extended period of time. So if you looked at the first harvest season, you can see that the total James River hand scrape area was open for 3 months. And in the proposed season, that same area, each area is going to be open for 3 months, but the total river is stretched out to 6 months. There has been a little bit of concern that if it doesn't work and people aren't split up, that potentially you could have a large portion of people stay in the James throughout the entire season and work one area for 3 months. When the other area opens up, move there, and that could be potentially more impact to the river system. I mean, it's sort of, it's hard to know what people are going to do until you actually try it. And the idea with this season is that Area 1 of the Rappahannock is going to be comparable to those areas, and a tendency of Eastern Shore folks to stay in the James because it's a much shorter drive. Hopefully they take that option, and the same for people coming down from Northern Neck, they stay in the Rappahannock. And then as you go throughout the season, having sort of comparable areas open up at the same time is the idea to sort of keep the fleet split close to home as we possibly can and ensure that there's sort of a steady supply of oysters coming through there.
Andrew, you did mention that this plan would go back to the 5-day work week from the current 4-day work week. I might have missed that.
I have not yet mentioned that. That was the other...
Sorry to spoil your surprise. Yeah.
That was sort of a compromise to drop that vessel limit down to 24. Was instead of having, in previous seasons, we've had the 24 vessel limit for boats, and it was 4 days a week for the beginning of the season. That was October, November, and December. And then for the rest of the season, January, February, it went back up to 5-day work week. And as sort of a compromise, it was 16 bushels throughout the harvest season and allowing for a 5-day work week. So, I mean, potentially there has been, it's been raised before that dropping the vessel limit would encourage more people to rig up boats and go into the fishery. And I think that may happen in sort of isolated instances, but I don't think there's going to be a slew of new boats out there actually increasing effort. It's one of those things, in theory, it could happen, but I think a lot of times that third person, some of them may be able to rig up a boat. I mean, if they're dedicated and in the fishery, they have that opportunity to do so. But if they were sort of working on the periphery, they had other things that they were doing normally, and sort of oyster season was just sort of a little bonus to them, I don't think those folks would be rigging up to go oystering season long. They could, but you know, that was sort of a concession to sort of ease the 16 bushel limit there, is having that 5-day work week. And, you know, by January and February, that 5-day work week, I'm sure, won't be 5 days every week given weather conditions. The other issue that SMAC had brought up was for the James River seed harvest, it was a unanimous motion to repeal the June 1st deadline for reharvesting James River seed oysters. Traditionally, the James River has been an area that's produced lots and lots of seed oysters, and we allow unlimited harvest. There's no bushel limit in the Hantong areas for seed oysters. And in current regulation, they're allowed to be replanted on private ground, and you're not allowed to reharvest these oysters until after June 1st. There was a motion to repeal that deadline, and the main reasons for doing so were to allow private planters who had planted James River seed to sort of take advantage of market forces and harvest those oysters, you know, when they were available, when they could. Staff does not feel that that would be a good route to go to move that deadline, mainly because there is a 12 bushel quota on clean coal oysters in the seed area. So you're allowed to harvest clean coal oysters from the same areas that you're allowed to harvest seed throughout the oyster season, running from October to April 12th. And if individuals were allowed to harvest as many seed oysters as they can, plant them on private ground, and immediately reharvest them, it would sort of be a way of circumventing this 12 bushel harvest limit on clean cull oysters. And possibly it would encourage sort of targeting of areas of the James River that have traditionally larger oysters, even if they are seed areas. There are certain portions of the James River areas that are a little bit better for clean cull oysters, and there are certain areas that have a much higher spat count, much higher volume of small oysters that have traditionally been harvested for seed oysters because of that. And this could sort of shift effort in a way that wouldn't necessarily be good for the resource as a whole. As a compromise, I don't really have a strong opinion about this compromise. I would prefer that it sort of stay the way that it is there. But potentially as a way of spreading harvest effort a little further, is currently there's a quota system established for the harvest of James River seed that allows for 40,000 bushels to be harvested before December 31st. If that quota is reached, then harvest is stopped until the spring, when that quota goes up to 120,000 bushels in total. And a way of sort of splitting the difference in this case would be to allow the reharvest of any oysters that were planted prior to that December 31st up to that 40,000 bushel quota after December 1st, and keeping the June 1st deadline for any oysters planted after that. That potentially could further alleviate any fishing pressure in the hand scrape fishery by encouraging more individuals to participate in seed oyster harvest early in October, which would be good to have less people participating. That's not a few boats can make a difference, but that might encourage some folks to stay out of that fishery and stick to harvesting James River seed in the month of October as opposed to jumping into the scrape fishery. And it allows for Virginia to utilize the maximum amount of our quota, because right now we can't limit the sale of James River seed oysters out of state. So if that quota gets used up by individuals selling to Maryland or any other states, we can't legally do anything about that. But allowing and encouraging Virginia to utilize that resource within the state could have that added benefit as well. And the other change that would happen this year is, for the first time in many years, Area 6 of the Rappahannock would be opened prior to the hand scrape season to patentong fishing. Traditionally, this area in recent history has been limited to the deep water areas at the mouth of the Piankatank off Gwen's Island, Deep Rock it's called. And this is another way of potentially alleviating consistent hand scrape pressure in the fishery by allowing boats that want to rig up a little early for patentonging to patentong that area first, stay rigged up for patentongs, and then stay patentonging throughout the oyster season as opposed to jumping back into the scrape fishery. There has been some sort of debate on patentonging in the Rappahannock, whether or not it would damage the bottom. It's staff's opinion that patentongs are probably less damaging than most oyster dredges and most hand scrapes in terms of not actually impacting the resource on the bottom. These are oyster patentongs, and for the record, they're limited to 100 pounds. They're not the clam patentongs that are much heavier gear and potentially could damage the resource. And this is sort of a further way of sort of just spreading out pressure and allowing people to participate in different fisheries. In addition, one area in the Mobjack, which is normally part of the York River rotation, was taken out of rotation in previous years due to the particularly high spat set that it got. You may remember that. And just half of that area had been open, toe stake. And this year we're proposing allowing a limited hand tong season on that only that area of Polt's Bar in October, followed by a February scrape season. This is an area that, you know, it has a lot of oysters there now. It was out of the rotation. This would spread out the pressure further there when just that area on the James River is open in February and just the dredge area in the Pocomoke is open in February. There is potential that we're harvesting these oysters in this rotation as opposed to this area. All of Mobjack would be coming on next year. So those oysters may or may not be there next year, but, you know, it's one of those, do you take them this year or do you take them next year? We skip the rotation. We felt that it was sort of a fair compromise to have this area open, in particular having that hand-tong area open to October, to sort of further encourage people who may want to stay out of the fishery, the scrape fishery in October, because it should be fairly productive to hand-tongs in that area. The final change, I think, to the regulation as proposed was to amend the regulation regarding the time of day that you can leave the dock with dredge gear or a hand scrape on board. Currently, there's two different times. For if you're licensed to have a dredge on board, you're allowed to leave the dock an hour before sunrise. And if you have a license to hand scrape, you're allowed to leave the dock half an hour before sunrise. And effectively, a hand scrape becomes a dredge if you're using it on private ground. So if you're leaving the dock an hour before sunrise, you can say you're going to private ground and you have a hand scrape on board. It's a dredge. And, you know, it's sort of, I don't have a strong opinion, but in terms of enforcement, it might potentially be easier to have it be uniform. I mean, I could go either way. Probably half an hour for both or an hour for both. It doesn't matter much to me. I mean, law enforcement, I think the reason originally for it was many of the hand scrape areas are closer to many public or private grounds, and there was concern that that would give individuals an extra half an hour in the dark out there with a hand scrape, which is a very efficient way of catching oysters. You know, the dredge areas are traditionally more in the open water, and that was, I believe, the reason for it. But, I mean, a half an hour, if you're splitting the difference, isn't really necessarily that much. It would just sort of be a little bit more regulatory consistency there. And I'll take any questions, and there's any sort of... Okay. So the main areas that are going to be the changes in the definitions are these maps here. So if you open up, this is the James River Hand Scrape Area 1. And this is sort of the way that these areas will be split up. So this area, this is that area. That would be the new staggered open area. This would be the hand scrape area 2 here. In definitions, this is on page 18, or page 6 of 25, excuse me. this area would be considered James River Area 3 here. And 1 and 2 would really, or 1 and 3 would really go together in terms of they'd be open at the same time. Area 2 would be open in that staggered opening. This would be the new rotation area in the Great Wicomico. The upper area would be the area that would be open first, followed by the lower area. And Blackberry Hangs, which is an area part of the scrape fishery, would stay out of this rotation. And there's that change to the area that would be open up in Mob Jack. It would just be that one portion there in the definitions. And the harvest seasons are sort of there established on page 17 there in your packet, changing those areas there. And the day and time limits, those are changed there on page 19. That's basically establishing that time of day change there. Yeah, page 19 of 25. And most of the rest of the changes in the regulation are just to match the changes in definition there, and changing the bushel limit there, and as well as that June 1st deadline there is proposed in this draft regulation. And then the final change is sort of there at the end on page 24 of 25. Regarding the seed oyster planting procedures would be outlined there.
Question for Mr. Buck. What was your comment about Blackberry Hang?
That would stay out of the rotation system. That would be still on open every year. That area is particularly tricky to harvest on. It's called Blackberry Hangs due to a large number of rocks, sort of ledges in there, and there's only a limited number of people who work that area, and it gets pretty rough there. It's sort of fully exposed. It's right just a little up of where this arrow is on the map out in the Chesapeake Bay proper. So that area would be limited by that. And it's potentially a good target area for future restoration.
So that will be open both December and January.
That's correct, yeah.
So, Mr. Button, let me see if I can summarize this, if I had all this right. We're going to have more areas open. We're going to have at least two and as many as seven hand scrape areas open at any given month during the season.
That's
correct. We have seven hand scrape areas that are aimed for December opening that will serve the Christmas demand. Increased patent tongue areas. We're going back to the five-day work week in exchange for a reduction in the vessel limit from 24 to 16. And all this had a unanimous support from the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee. Do I have that correct?
That's correct. I will state for the
Have we in recent memories ever had a unanimous agreement with the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee?
Well, I don't know if it's fair to compare apples to oranges there since we were talking about harvest restriction, but I don't think it has been unanimous in terms of this in some time. Yeah.
As an oysterman, I think you did an excellent job here. I mean, this answers a lot of questions and concerns that we had, especially about safety. And, I think it's a win-win for everybody here.
I will state that I spoke with a number of individual harvesters sort of about this coming up to the meeting, and some had suggested that they'd like to maintain the four-day work week and the bushel limit. Keep in mind this is coming from a harvester, a waterman working person, just as an extra measure. And I did say that I would mention I spoke with on the phone with a gentleman yesterday who proposed having a 10-bushel limit, four-day work week, and said that I'd present that was his opinion on this matter. But other than that, yeah, it's had pretty decent support, and I think it has a comparable conservation equivalence based on the seasons that we've had. I mean, there's potential that it's hard to predict where 300 boats are going to go, but this is an attempt to sort of alleviate the pressure of the fishery that we have, not really, expanding and contracting much.
Well, Mr. Button, isn't also true is that with that great spat set a few years ago, pretty good spat set a couple years ago, I mean, we now have additional oysters to harvest this year that we didn't last year or the year before.
That is correct. There's so sort of the stock assessment.
I've been telling this to harvesters in the oyster and in the crab fishery here, all the changes you ever want to make about, bettering the fishery all have to start with higher abundance. I mean, that's where it starts. So we have higher abundance in oysters, and I think that we can do a bit more as a result. I think you've done a very good job here putting together a pretty well-considered plan. That's my two cents. Mr. Ballard?
I do like the plan, and I'll echo the comments that I heard, that it was a fantastically run SMAC meeting. A couple questions, just if you can educate me. I understand the advantage to the dealers of a five-day work week. If I look at it from the perspective of a waterman, I say, you're cutting my number of bushels per week from 96 to 90, and I got to take an extra day, extra fuel, extra time to go get almost the same number, slightly less. What's the conservation measure for 5 days versus four? Why does that benefit the resource?
Well, it doesn't directly benefit the resource, but there isn't with the five versus the four. It doesn't really in terms of the conservation equivalency of having a four-day work week versus a five-day work week. Are you asking about the bushel limit and on top of that, or just the...
Is there a reason that they'd be grinding on the same areas less if they're 5 days or any concept like that? Because otherwise I look at it and I say, it's just increasing the price of oysters because it's going to cost the watermen more to get roughly the same amount.
Well, I guess from the waterman's perspective, potentially you might lose a day here and there, and there was a little bit of pushback in terms of if you do lose a day due to weather, then you're already down to four and you have five. And from a conservation perspective, I mean, they're equivalent if you're catching 40 bushels in 4 days versus 16 bushels in 5 days. Potentially, if more boats do get into the fishery, and you did, if you went up that bushel limit, then you could actually have more of an impact. If you catch the same number of bushels in 4 days versus five, if more boats jump in.
Well, isn't it also that spreading that out, harvest, a weekly harvest from 4 to 5 days helps spread out the harvest off of particular rocks, so they're not grinding as much and it lasts a bit longer?
I think potentially. I mean, and you might have people who, since they can work 5 days, might pick the best 4 of those days to go out, and there isn't going to be that pressure to be out there every single day on top of that same rock. So you might have sort of alleviated that way. And it's really hard to predict a lot of that based on trying to predict what 300 boats are going to do on any given day during the season. But it's sort of an attempt to do just that and basically spread it out as much as you possibly can throughout the season, throughout the areas, with a number of boats working sort of similar in similar grounds.
Mr. Ballard.
And the other question I had that I've heard from some of the watermen, the James, is this the first time we've ever separated into regions or areas?
This is the first time that we've had a staggered opening of the hand scrape area.
Yeah. And I guess the concern I had a couple phone calls on was that it's a particularly silty or muddy river and that they believe the oysters need to be turned over in order to catch spat, and that letting them sit for a whole year isn't ideal. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, this area wouldn't be a full year-on, year-off rotation. The total area would be open for this year, and it would just be staggered so that part of the river would be open in October, and then the other half of the river would open up in December. So the whole area will be open in 1 year. It's just split up into this way. And in terms of the turning over of oysters to increase spat set, there really isn't any sort of scientific evidence to back that up as it's necessarily good, particularly if it's on public bottom. It might be one thing if you're very carefully working your own private bottom with one boat, but 120 boats turning up the bottom isn't going to help the bottom at all.
Any other questions from the commission?
I just want to make a comment. I like
Mr. Martin?
I like this plan. I really do. And I just want to say thank you, and thanks to SMAC as well for all the hard work. So I like it.
Well, let's throw this open for the judgment of others, particularly the harvesters. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody wishing to be heard on this? Oh, come on, folks. I know you want to talk. Come on up. Please state your name for the record.
It's me. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I agree with everything, pretty much what he's saying. But the 24, I think that should be allowed because it's more safer with three on the boat, yeah, than it is two. That's the only thing I have against.
Otherwise, it looks all right to you?
Yeah. Okay. Three sets of eyes are better than two. It's more safer, so.
Okay. Anyone else? Come on up. Aren't we all, Mr. Green?
Birthday's old slow down there. Richard Green. I guess my only opposition in what's going on, especially with the James River, which the rotation seems like a good thing, but I'm kind of in favor of, if it isn't broke, don't try to fix it. You know, the James River's a unique river as opposed to all these other rivers. And the continued way all the areas open up at the same time, it tends not to crowd the boats being one area. They tend to spread out and they tend to do better that way. And we've got a weather situation. If you got easterly or westerly winds, you can easily go from one side of the river or you can go another side of the river. And making a living ain't always so easy in these rivers. And when you're fighting nature and the weather and all the various things off, I would say I'd rather see the James River left as it has always been worked. I think it's more advantageous to everyone in this sense. And most of the years, in late years, we've been working the river. We've been catching the limit right up to the very last day of the season. So it hasn't been a situation where everything's getting gobbled up and done. And like I said, the James River, as opposed to most, is a very unique river.
So, Mr. Green, opening the James River and one section of it for can scrape in October, you think would increase the pressure of harvest on the James River?
Never has before.
Okay.
It's been the same.
Then I'm not sure I understand your issue.
Well, I'd rather see the whole river up rather than doing rotational areas, like opening one side of the river up and then working it back to the other side. It's always worked good the way it's been going. And, you know, if it's been producing and acting in this sense, it'd be, you know, I think it'd leave it alone and work it that way. But that's my opinion on the thing. These other rivers, and I'm sure he's got good ideas to come up with things, and maybe things seem to be better one way than they are the other, but not necessarily. And the Rappahannock has been years past, as we all know, they've opened up areas and boats will congregate in it and they just completely devour it and destroy it. And it's been failed policies. You've got to open larger areas in these areas, these rivers. You just can't allow hundreds of boats to congregate within a small area. It's just destruction. There's no other way around it. It's just what's going to happen.
And,
I like some of his plans. It seems pretty viable the way it's coming about. Pat and Tong, and I don't think it's going to be a great thing in the future, but it's sort of been a destructive thing in a way, depending on how long are the teeth, tongs. I used to clam. I've worked those things before. And if it's done properly, it works properly. But, you know, you got some things don't always work the way they're supposed to be.
There are questions from the commission. Thank you, Mr. Green. Who else wishes to be heard? Mr. Griffith.
Back up if you can. Just a couple questions for him. When you're saying the harvest is down last year, are you taking into consideration the fact that we got cut back to 4 days and how many days we lost with that many boats working with three men on the boat? First question. Next, when you're talking about how many boats out here with going back to two men, do you have any data on how many boats are currently having three people? If you're saying there's 300 boats out there already, if you cut them back to two men, you're going to have another 100. Because most of these guys, as some of these guys who were in here earlier said, this is all they've ever done.
Okay.
They're going to continue to worship.
Mr. Griffith.
Yes, sir.
The Shellfish Management Advisory Committee meets before these board meetings to discuss the plans and to come up with something.
Sure.
That's a good time for question and answer. And a good time for question and answer is not to ask staff questions while the commission is about to make a decision. So if you want to present your ideas to the commission, which is going to dictate the policy here in a few minutes, that's really great. But question and answer of staff is really something that's wasting the commission's time.
I'd ask a question that would elaborate on trying to set policy on. And in terms of going to those meetings, I told you earlier, I'm a full-time peeler potter, which means I get up in the morning, get crabs up, go crab, then come in, deliver crabs, then I babysit crabs all night. I don't have time to go to these meetings every day. I miss my work today to be here for something else.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wright.
Can he write a letter?
Yeah, you write a letter. We would like to hear what you have to say.
I understand. I just thought I maybe bringing up a point that you're not considering that if you're going to cut back to two person to the boat, you're going to increase the amount of boats. There's no question about that. These guys that are going to oyster, whether they're three on the boat or two on the boat, they're going to go oyster. So if that means they got to rig up another boat, that's what they're going to do. You're not going to reduce the amount of people out there. You're going to increase the amount of boats. Now, his ideas with spreading things out and opening more areas, I think it's excellent for you because we've been jammed up the past couple of years. It's a safety concern. People are running into each other, and you're chewing it up to nothing. I mean, the term kitty litter, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
It gets ground right down to nothing, and there's no sense in it. It could be spread out, and I think the plan is a great plan, but I think there's some things that maybe aren't being factored in when you think about that. If you're saying the catch is down, well, we got reduced to 4 days where we could work 5 days. Well, that's a ton of oysters that aren't being caught that fifth day every week. Obviously, your catch is going to be down. That's just simple math. If you don't work as many days, then it's just easy to figure out.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Griffith. Some others. Anyone else wishes to testify? Let's hear what you have on your mind. Dr. Wesson.
Anybody remember Dr. Hargis?
Yes.
That's what I feel like now. When he used to come to the meetings telling me stuff to do. Can we get back? Can you put it back to the season that we're going to have? I'm just going to speak for the Worcester.
I'm not going to speak for the industry right now. You have to remember that you can't forget that all the things we did on African control haven't even cut in yet. We have way, way too many boats. And the number of hours of contact between a dredge or a scrape and the oysters are what our problems are. Maryland is a really good example of where we have to be careful not to go. Maryland has a full-time dredge and hand scrape fishery. They're, what they use is an in-between us. It's a 3 foot instead of two or four. And they're basically open from November 1st till the end of March. They had the same amount of oysters that we did, you know, when we got into peak 4 years ago. They've since gone down, and they've gone down, and they're at 220 this past year. The guys that work up there in the managers, like us, figure it'll be 150 or less this year, and then less than 100 next year. And so that's from a long season. My biggest concern with this is the fact that that how long we have in the James, in the hand scrape area, you've jumped from 3 to 5. You know, adding a month is a trial, but adding 2 months is almost doubling the time there. So I think you really need to think through that. The stock assessment has improved in 15 and 16 from the SPAT sets, but remember, most of those 15 recruits are not going to make it in the fishery this year. They'll come in next year. And so as many of them as we kill this year by having the dredges on the ground, they'll be gone for the future year. So my concern for the oyster would be 5 months is really a big increase over 3 months. The second issue is the reason that we have avoided for years October is meat quality. And the James River is notoriously the worst area for meat quality. So when you start talking about conservation equivalents, if you're catching an oyster in October, like right now, there's no market out there because the meat quality is so bad that they're not even working on private ground out there to speak of. Just about everybody's quit because the buyers don't want them. They shuck so few oysters per bushel. And it'll be very close to that in October. So an oyster that you took in October would have been much better harvested in December or January than in October. And that's the reason that we had laid off October and we'd only had one hand scrape area for the industry. And just in general, it seems like they fatten up better from the north going south. And so that was the reason that the longer season had been in the October for the Rappahannock. This thing that we're trying to avoid of having too many people on the rocks is a self-inflicted problem by the industry. It takes them 2 hours to catch their limits. We started at sunrise and you got till 2. Well, there's no reason that they can't wait till 9 o'clock, some of them, to go out and avoid all of this. They don't have any excuse for having to be out there in that big huddle that they're in, because it'd be, you know, they rush out there all together, then they rush back to take out all together, so they have to stand in line taking out. If they go out and they leave at 9 behind the crowd, just like commuting, then they come back and they can offload faster, and so their day is actually shorter. So that one it's really, I hate to see damage to a resource because people can't figure out stuff like that on their own. I mean, that shouldn't be regulated. Mobjack, you know, adding a hands, that again, that was adding a hand scrape area there at the end of that season. Again, those are 2015 set. Mobjack grows slow just in general. And most of those oysters are not going to be ready in February, and you're going to really damage them what's there. Where they should come into our rotation when they're 3 years old next year. And by having that short season, I mean, the mobjack season year before last only lasted, you know, just days, and it'll be the same thing in mobjack for when they go on at this time. So it's, again, it's doing much more damage to the resource than the gains that will come out of it. And then the last issue was just, I never heard if we're choosing a time of leaving. The reason historically we set those differences in time was that it was set for dredges an hour early because of Tangier and Pocomoke, because they had, the Tangier guys had such a long time. It was specifically done for the dredges, for the long way they had to go in Tangier Sound. Lots of times weather was bad there, and they'd be slow. So if you short it down to half hour, they're going to be really impacted by that. If you go to an hour in these areas in the James River, I mean, in the James, where you come right out of Deep Creek, or in Rappahannock at Broad Creek, and you can come out an hour early and sit down and wait for sunrise, you can imagine how much mischief will be done in the dark in that situation. So that's a pretty old compromise we had on half hour for the hand scrapes and an hour for the dredges. So thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Wesson. Ms. Brown.
My name is Mark Brown. I'm an oysterman. For once, I agree with Jim Wesson. Y'all can all stand up and clap because I agree with him. He's exactly right.
Hold on a second. I'm going to call the media.
No, the media is already.
This is news.
The two areas that you've opened up in James River, that's where our oyster at. That needs to be just one area. Just like Mr. Green said, we work one side of the river when the wind's one place, and we work my side of the river when the wind's around to the west. We can't hide from it. The James River's so wide. The October, it doesn't need to be open in the James River in October. It can be opened up November, December, January, and February. That'll alleviate that problem. Just like Jim Wesson said, the oysters are poor, they don't shuck as good. He's right about all of those things. And as far as the time goes, what he forgot to tell you was, if you live in Rescue, or you live in Newport News and Deep Creek, and that's where you got your boat harbored at, and you decide to leave those two places, and you have to run below the James River Bridge, it's impossible for us to leave, even as fast as some of our boats are, and get below the James River Bridge in 30 minutes. So we're already at handicap. And like last year, I had an instance where I was issued a summons, and it got dismissed in court. But I was leaving Rescue and running the Nansemond River. My boat runs 17 knots. It takes me an hour and 10 minutes to get to the rocks in the Nansemond River. So for me to leave 30 minutes, I'm already at a 40-minute disadvantage when I get to the rock. And some of these other boats, these smaller skiffs like they're talking about, they can run fast enough, they can make that time up. But I can't. I got a 40-foot work boat. Those are my suggestions, and that's what I hope you take into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Anybody else wish to be heard?
David Tyler McGinnis, McGinnis Productions, been doing a documentary project on watermen in the bay extensively for the past several years. My question just is on the reduction in bushel limit is essentially a job loss, I guess, or maybe it's not. My question is, has there been any type of economic impact statement done or any calculations in terms of job numbers and economics?
Nope.
So no economic impact statement. I mean, do you think that should be considered? I mean, isn't it significant? I mean, isn't it something? I mean, because, so, for instance, in my story, a number of the people I've been out with happened to be, you know, the third man on the boat, specifically on the Eastern Shore and places like Tangier. And so, you know, it's a potential hardship. But, you know, maybe it's not if you're adding more boats, but then there's the environmental impact. So it kind of seems to me that it would be something that, you know, would be maybe considered very carefully, you know, because just from my perspective, I can see from my story how it's important. You know, I've just been to Tangier, and Tangier is in the news. You know, Tim Kaine was there. We were filming, talking about this. And so, you know, the story goes is that, you know, people are losing their jobs. You know, what is being done, especially in an election year, you know, what is being done to consider that and compensate for that? And I guess further, as the man mentioned, you know, the liability issue with the danger of two men versus three men. You know, five Virginia watermen drowned this year. So has that also been fully considered? And I'm not saying, you know, I think it sounds like some people like the 16 bushel limit and some don't, you know, and I'm just asking, you know, has it been fully considered? And if not, should it be more fully considered, and maybe should, you know, the legislature and the governor and, you know, leaders, you know, the elected officials be involved in the process?
So I'll just note about jobs and income. In the oyster fishery in the last 3.5 years, the harvest is up 50%. Watermen are harvesting 50% more oysters last year than they did 3 years ago, which means they're making 50% more. And in fact, it's more than just 50% more, because the dockside value has risen from $35 a bushel to around $50 a bushel. So I would imagine that that had something to do with jobs along the way. Similar results have been seen in the crab fishery here. And, you know, that's the credit to this board here, who has taken a long-term sustainable fisheries management approach to these things. So what we have in front of us here is a proposal from staff that was vetted through the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, which includes harvesters, buyers, packers, harvesters, and their unanimous recommendation is that this is the path forward. Others have different ideas. Mr. McGinnis, as you know, if you talk to 10 different watermen, you're going to have 20 different opinions on the same subject. So lots of people have this different ideas about the same subject matter. It's the board's path, board's mandate to find the path forward. So
yeah, I understand. It's a complex issue.
That's the answer here to your many and various questions.
Yeah, I understand it's a complex issue. I just understand, from my perspective, you know, in my story, there are people that, you know, may lose their jobs. So for me, it's, you know, readily apparent and significant. So my only question is how fully it has been assessed.
Thank you, Mr. McGinnis. Is there anybody else wish to be heard?
Heather North with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. On behalf of Jackie Shannon, she sent you a letter stating our opinions of issues. And we just wanted to commend BMRC staff for their recommendations. We support their ideas and recognize that the oyster industry is very important to the economy of Virginia. And we want to know that obviously the watermen, their safety and their concerns are addressed, which we feel was considered in these recommendations. And so we just wanted to thank them for their time, and also for the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee. We agree with all of their recommendations as well, and thank them for their work also.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter one way or another? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed and the matter is before the committee. Come on up. Couldn't see you behind the pillar.
Yeah.
Please state your name for the record.
George Pauls, commercial fisherman. I don't see the benefit of splitting a river. It's the same if you're going to work at the same months. And I agree with Mr. Brown, October. Poor. And I hate to see the river split up, because when it do, they segregate it. Then what's in the future for years to come? We're going to close one side like you do Rappahannock and then open the other side again. That's my concern. And I do run three-man boat, so the 16 bushels I'm not a fan of, because I got to tell someone they can't go this year. You know what I mean? It's still a family impact. You know, but that's my concern.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Anybody else behind the pillar? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. What is the will of the commission?
Again, I want to thank staff and also SMAC And I like this plan. So I'm leaning more toward voting for this plan.
Okay, Mr. Miner, Mr. Taggart.
I'm all right with the plan in many regards. I think that we've heard some testimony here today that might preclude us from putting into effect an October season in the James. And I think that Dr. Wesson also had some other points that maybe we ought to consider, like the start time. Some watermen also raised that. And then also the Mobjack Bay issue. I've always heard the Mobjack Bay oysters are a bit of a slower grower, and I don't know if we've taken that into account. But I do, one of the things you do see, and people have remarked to me on the Eastern Shores, the number of these Carolina skiffs have gotten into the game. I guess we've got a lot of new people doing oysters. Maybe Mr. McGinnis wasn't around some years ago, but I can still remember testimony from working watermen saying that Virginia oyster was extinct, and that wasn't very long ago. And so we've come a long way from being extinct to having the harvest we have now. So Virginia has done nothing but create jobs in this industry, as far as I can tell. But I do think this advent of the Carolina skiff, as far as being a dredge tool, it has made it a disadvantage for the long-term working waterman. And maybe we need to kind of take that into account.
Mr. Zedra.
I have a question for staff. I fish various tournaments and offshore. And instead of a time that you leave the dock, you have a time that you start fishing. How does that play into what you've got here?
It's sunrise, you can start fishing. You can leave the dock prior to sunrise, but you can't actually have your dredge gear in the water until sun up.
Okay, so it's the fishing time. So the other gentleman that got a ticket because he left a half hour early or something like that, I mean, why would he get that ticket?
You're not allowed to leave the dock with dredge gear or hand scrape gear on board early. Regardless, you can't have it on board. It's one of those regulations. It might encode that you can't have dredge gear on board unless you're going to or from an area that you're licensed to fish in.
What I'm saying is, this gentleman here, he was talking about how far he had to go. What difference does it make when he has to leave the dock, as long as he doesn't start fishing before the legal time, is what I'm saying.
Well, Mr. Zedra, can I help with that? You remember last December we had a couple of watermen here who were offenders who stood in front of the commission and said they started drinking at 4:30 in the morning and they were heading to their private ground across the James River. And yeah, it was dark, it was getting light, and they decided to check the sanctuary in the James River just to see how it was doing. And they harvested 20 bushels of oysters worth $600 in 20 minutes. 12 bushels.
Okay, I got it.
That's why there's a time of day, middle of the night, dredge gear, hand scrape consideration.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Neal.
Just what Ed brought up kind of made me make a comment. It was a very short time ago that the Virginia's oyster industry was on the verge of collapse. And Dr. Wesson and this staff and the commission before I was on here, took steps to bring this fishery back. And so the oystermen that still have oysters to catch have Dr. Wesson and this VMRC staff to thank for that. The James River, and this is a question. So previously it was for the hand scrape. It was a 3-month season.
That's correct.
In the whole river. And so what you've done is you've divided into two sections and you've had an overlap. So when Dr. Wesson brings up stuff, I listen, you know, kind of thing. So really you're not going from 3 months to 5 months since you've split it up. So is that right? You know, 1, 2, 3. You are going from 3 months to 5 months. So that's what that is. But not for each part of the – each part is still at 3 months.
That's correct.
So you're really not – for each section, you're not increasing the fishery.
In theory, no. The bottom will be open for the same amount of time, but potentially effort could be focused more in that small area for that 3 months, and then that same effort could move to the other area. So that potentially could happen. It's one of those, you don't know if that's going to happen. because there's other areas, particularly in October. I mean, there's no denying that James River, the meat quality is poor in October. You know, you don't necessarily have to buy James River oysters in October. That might decrease efforts there to sort of reassure that. I mean, let the market sort of potentially could take care of some of those concerns there. But it's sort of hard to predict all those factors.
His other concern was in the Mobjack Bay, particularly the hand scrape in that area we set aside because of that big spat set. He didn't bring up the hand tong, the hand scrape in February, about a good number of those which are still being too small.
The truth of the matter is there's no gentle way to hand scrape oysters, so some oysters that are too small probably won't make it to market next year. This area did get skipped in the previous rotation, so we took the decision to give them basically an extra 2 years after that spat set. So, you know, allowing them to be harvested now is you're getting more to that resource than we would have if we had originally opened it when it was scheduled to be. So it sort of got skipped in that rotation because of that. There is potential that it won't be there when this area is scheduled to be open next year. So that does exist.
Yep. That.
Mr. France, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, we talked about meat quality for James River in October, but traditionally, hasn't the hand scrape opened in October in the James River always?
No, it's usually been November through January for 3 months. Yep. The clean coal areas and the seed areas have been opened in October.
Mr. Ballard.
2 points. One on the meat quality. That's true for the shucking business, but there is a large shell oyster business out of the James River as well that it's sold just in shell. So I think that's important to keep in mind where meat quality is not a factor in that business nearly as much as the shucking industry. And I guess I'm questioning the two areas of the James. I hear the harvesters talking about they need to move to different sides based on the winds, and that makes sense to me. And it does seem like the James River has been one of the best producing areas. We've had very little harvest control on it, and I guess I'm questioning why. What's the benefit to the two areas if we're going to work them each year? It seems like we're concentrating effort on each area instead of letting them spread out and kind of go around. I understand some rotation areas that we want to pause it and say, all right, we're not going to harvest that area, but we're not doing that in the James. We're harvesting each area throughout the year. So what's the benefit to the two areas?
Potentially having two areas open this year allows for a comparable area to be open to the Lower Rappahannock in October is one reason. So the area of the James River and the lower area one of the Rappahannock, by splitting up the James River into two areas, you don't open the whole river up in October, which has some issues that we discussed. You open up a portion of it that's sort of comparable to the area in the Rappahannock. It allows for sort of a natural experiment, if you will, to see if that area could be split into two areas. So potentially if the harvest effort, if they are spread out enough, it allows you without sort of going right off the get-go and turning it into a rotation area.
So the idea is that we take some of the boats that normally crowd the Rappahannock in October because that's the first hand scrape area open, and we allow some hand scraping in the James, but you don't want to open up the whole area of the James in October for fear that we'll deplete the resource. Is that kind of the goal?
More or less the gist of it, yeah. Okay. You don't want the whole area to be open, sort of stagger it, sort of hedge your bets a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Do you think the watermen, or would it make sense to, instead of dividing the James River on a north-south access, maybe on a east-west access, so that they can go to the different sides for the wind?
I guess sort of the reason it's sort of split down the middle is sort of there's comparable productivity and numbers of oysters. If you split it down the middle versus sort of north-south, it'd be a little bit harder to divide it that way. And in terms of addressing the wind issue, is I'm sure not all individuals who participate in the scrape fishery do participate in the hand tong fishery, but there is that hand tong area upriver if it's a windy day.
Okay.
And then in addition, you have that 5-day work week instead of the 4. So if the weather isn't favorable, you have that additional. You can take a day off, and you're not missing anything. So that's sort of a benefit there. And for having the five-day work week to address those concerns.
Other comments? Other questions? I'll just note here, checking the stats here, 10 years ago, the total harvest of oysters in the Commonwealth of Virginia was 106,000 bushels. It's the total. Last year, 600.
Public and private?
Public and private, and last year it was 600,000. It's multiplied sixfold in 10 years.
Wow. Done a good job.
So, thank you, Dr. Wesson. Mr. Tank.
Mr. Button, I want to commend you on doing a very nice job. I want to go back to the start time. What's your thought on start time and also Mob Jack Bay and the season that may, do you think it's an appropriate length of season there? And should we shorten it when you look back on your suggestions to us?
On the Mob Jack Bay hand scrape area there?
Yes.
It's really a matter of catch them now or catch them later. I mean, it's that area they're going to be caught next year, and it's whether or not it's worth having an additional potentially decent area open to sort of alleviate pressure from the other areas is sort of the main reason for having that area open. And it's sort of the best, as I'm hesitant to open any new areas that don't have replenishment activity, and this was an area that was skipped, to sort of add an extra area into the rotation while we're sort of doing this experiment this year to potentially spread out that harvest pressure there. That was the main reason for having it. And so the whole sort of season was sort of carefully balanced, including that new area being opened and to allow for those areas to be open at the time. So if you remove that area from the Mob Jack, I would recommend at the same time dropping that extra month off the James River area so that there wouldn't be multiple areas open at the same time. You could basically take the James River two areas and contract them so that November and December were an overlap as opposed to just December. And that would basically shorten your scrape fishery. So that the hand scrape fishery would end where it traditionally has in January. So if you got rid of that area, I would recommend sort of getting rid of that, contracting the James River area too. Something like this. So that I guess that Mob Jack area, if you got rid of that, that wouldn't be there in this season. This area that was a Mob Jack area is if you decided not to open that area, then I would suggest contracting the James River, that split area, into overlap in November and December as opposed to just December like it is here. And I would still like to have a limited amount of hand tonguing on that area in October regardless of getting rid of that hand scrape. Just I feel like that would potentially allow individuals to stay out of that hand scrape fishery entirely in October by giving an area that would be productive and would produce some good quality marketable worth there in October.
In November, what would you do there?
November would be as shown here, except without this hand scrape area there, if we decided to save those oysters for when they came into the rotation next year. And this is the just for reference here, this is from our spring stock assessment of the lower James River hand scrape areas. This was before harvest last year, and this is this spring this year, and you can see that the number of market oysters has close to doubled, I think, and the number of small oysters has considerably increased after harvest in those scrape areas. So that's all those small oysters that didn't get caught last year have come up to market size, and some of the spat have reached that small category this spring.
Mr. Tang?
And then I had the other original question was the start time.
The start time, I'm comfortable leaving it the way that it is now. It's just a matter of sort of wanted the commission to consider whether it was worth sort of the consistency there. I understand the perspective of you can get into a lot of trouble in half an hour in the dark. Potentially, though, it's much easier to enforce. If you have a scrape on board and you're going to private ground, you can call it a dredge. If you have a permit to dredge your private ground, and you know, you can't do that if it's consistently an hour for both. So if I have a scrape on board and I'm going to private ground and I'm leaving my dock an hour, it doesn't matter if I'm calling it a hand scrape or a dredge, you're going to get a ticket for that. Whereas now I can say, I have a permit to dredge my private ground, I'm not going scraping today, and they can get out of that ticket if they're leaving early, potentially. And that was a way of sort of basically making it consistent for sort of just that reason. And I could go to half an hour, I mean, if you want to do it that. I understand the sort of dredge comparison, but, you know, it's sort of... I don't think... The rate that they're currently catching oysters and the time that they're done, I don't think it would be an undue burden either going to an hour or a half an hour for either one. I mean, most people are catching their limit well before the 2 o'clock deadline, regardless.
So all I'll note is that staff and the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee worked diligently to come with the plan that was prepared and is before you. I think it's in our best interest to use that as kind of the baseline. If we want to tinker with that, sure, but I'm not sure that having the most agreement, not unanimity, but overwhelming agreement seems to be something that we don't see often enough that we would want to monkey with it.
I know.
Yeah, well, you make a very good point. I don't think I've ever seen the Shellfish Advisory Committee come up with a unanimous decision. That says something about what you've got before us.
So if you want to address, you know, the time issue or, you know, some of the opening and closures, great, but, you know, let's not rip it up and put it back together again.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Mr. France.
That, you know, I wouldn't mess with the time issue. I think it's been working fairly well.
Yeah.
If it takes somebody a little bit longer to get to a spot, it's, you know, it might be 10 minutes, but, you know, I think it works fairly well.
Mr. Neal?
First of all, all the questions that have been raised here, I think, have been good ones. I really appreciate Dr. Wesson showing up today. But then all of the answers that Mr. Button has come up with have been reasoned and has answered my concerns and my questions. And I don't think anything in here is out of order. The Shellfish Management Committee has vetted this. The whole purpose of this is to try to help the oystermen address some of their greatest concerns about the crowding by spreading them out, having at least two areas open at all times, so we don't have what the rodeo mentality type of thing. And so, yeah, is there a little concern about that little special rock in the mob jack, you know, whether you do it this year or next year? I make a motion to accept staff recommendation as presented. I think we're good to question it. And staff recommendation, if you go through this regulation, includes just making a uniform start time at 1 hour prior, is what they're recommending. I'd move to recommend staff recommendation.
And I second that.
Motion by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Minor here to adopt the staff recommendation. Is there discussion on this or a substitute motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. And the motion passes unanimously. First time out of the gate, Mr. Button. Very good job. Thank you, sir.
I wanted to make a comment. It's impressive. You were grilled rather thoroughly by Waterman here and by your, not your protege, what do you call it? Mentor is you did well. Very impressive.
Nice work, Andrew.